2 Corinthians 11. One of the things that gets me is the number of places in the Bible that we're told that there's going to be false teachers, false apostles, false brethren, false converts, false Bibles, false gospels, lying angels. I mean, the Bible's just constantly telling you, be not deceived, don't be deceived. And yet, deception runs everywhere. And if it weren't for people that believe it, there would be no deceivers. But there are way too many people that believe it. The heart, and it's because of the heart of man. The heart of man is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. And people, I guess, would rather keep their sin. They would rather boast on their good deeds than, I guess it's easier for them than to be broken and to let God work in their life and give God the glory rather than the other way around. I mean, I'm a human being. I'm a man. I understand the thinking. But at some point, God just gets you down so hard and so far that you don't have a choice but to let God save you, let God do something in your life. And the people who want to believe something besides that, there's just way too many of them, and I guess that's how it's going to be. So, the warning in 2 Corinthians 11 is in verse 4, "For if he that cometh preacheth another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if ye receive another spirit, which ye have not received, or another gospel, which ye have not accepted, ye might well bear with him." And then he says in verse 13, "For such are false apostles, deceitful workers, transforming themselves into the apostles of Christ." So, we're not necessarily looking for an invasion from without. We're looking for a subversion from within. They're not pretending to be Buddhist monks, or Muslim prophets or whatever. They're pretending to be Christians, pretending to be preachers, pretending to be apostles, pretending to be Bibles. They literally are, inwardly, they are ravening wolves. On the outside, they appear to be sheep. And that's what fools people, is that if they say they're Christian, if they act like they're Christian, if they pose as Christian, they must be Christian, and so let's follow that. And people would rather follow a man than they would follow the Bible. Okay? If you heard yesterday, massive protests all over the country, protesting the American constitutional right to keep and bear arms, protesting guns. Let's get rid of all the guns and let's ask the government to protect us, the government to take care of us, because they've done a great job so far. So what law is it that when these people took to the streets, what law are they wanting to enforce? What law are they upholding? None. There is no law in the United States. There is no law that suppresses gun ownership, that removes guns and weapons out of the hands of the citizen. There is no law that does that. And so what they're asking is to either change the law or ignore the law. And as far as I'm concerned, what they're doing is they're advancing the cause of something illegal, something that is not supposed to happen. And people from other countries, they don't understand, they don't get it, they don't see why we are so fierce and so zealous on this issue. And it's because the enemies are always going to be there. They're not going to go away. They are always going to be well armed. Always. I had some Jehovah's Witness come to the door years ago, and it was on a Saturday, and I remember that while I was talking to one, the other one had a big book, and as I'm giving out why they're wrong, and I'm saying certain things, the one guy was trying to argue with me, and the other one was looking in the book, and I just picked up on something that apparently the Jehovah's Witness have a Bible that has, you know, their version of the Bible, the New World Translation, along with, it looked to be their section, it used to be about that, it looked to be about that thick, and it was nothing but questions and answers. In other words, if I brought up a question about why they're wrong, in that book, it addresses how they can answer my question or answer my objection. And I asked Brady about this, and he said, yeah, that's what we have. He said, there's a whole list of things that people have brought up, why they don't believe Jehovah's Witness doctrine, and there's all the pre-written answers to how to prove those people wrong. And so the idea is they came to my house well-armed. They came ready to fight, ready to go to war, ready to win my soul. They came ready. Why shouldn't I be ready to fight back? Why shouldn't I be allowed the ability? Because when they come, the Jehovah's Witness never call your pastor first and say, can we go visit so-and-so out of your church? We don't talk to them about changing churches. They're not going to call me. They're not going to call a pastor. They're going to slip in behind somebody's back. It'd be the same as some guy calling your daughter behind your back, trying to get her to leave your house and go hook up with them. Okay? That's fighting words. Okay? That'd get somebody hurt real bad. And it's the same idea. And so I believe that every born-again believer should be well-armed and well-defended, ready to do that on their own, because the police can't show up in time, neither can the pastor be there. So you have to be ready to defend yourself, and especially in the age of social media. Social media, it's just like anything else. It is a double-edged sword. On the one hand, we're using it right now, and we're using it, I would say, somewhat effectively to reach people, to reach out to people, to get them inside the walls of our church when they're not able to be in the walls of our church. And we're trying to use that medium to promote the gospel. But one of the things in my heart is that if there's all these kooks and idiots that are out there trying to promote false gospels, false doctrine, everything else, they don't want you to have a choice. They only want you to hear their side of it. And Michael's telling me that the Catholic Church is doing everything it can to work against our radio stations in Kenya. They're even trying to emulate us. We registered the name Watchman FM in Kenya, not only in English, but in their language. And so the Catholic Church now is identifying itself as Watchman Radio. So that when people start talking about Watchman Radio, they could very easily turn over to the Catholic station. Okay? And so we have lawyers looking into filing a suit against them to make them stop. And it could very well be that in the process, a judge might rule, well, you both stop until we figure this out. So we would, we're not going to lose our radio station. We'd lose the ability to call ourselves what we legally can call ourselves. But anyway, the point is this. They don't like what we're saying. They don't like the competition. So it's just like Walmart. Let's close down the shoe stores. Let's close down the little mom and pop grocery stores. Let's outbid them, outdo them in every turn. And so we're the only ones selling now in your hometown. And that's what they've done all across America. That's what they've done everywhere. So they don't want the competition. I know that there's always going to be competition, which means that we must compete. Amen. Must compete. We have for all these guys that are out telling lies, I want to be right there across the street saying, don't listen to them. Amen. Let me show you the truth. And by the way, it's not going to cost you anything. Amen. It's free. So we've been examining false gospels. Verse 14 of 2 Corinthians 11, no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. So that feeds right into what Paul was saying, though we are an angel from heaven, bring you any other gospel, let him be accursed. So you have the truth. You have it written down plain language. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth on him should not perish but have everlasting life. So in the years that God has sort of set this church up, established this church and its ministries as a watchman type ministry, then I'm learning about how the bad guys are relating to people. I'm learning about what they say, how they say it, how they're trying to get their gospel in to subvert the true gospel. And I run up against a man by the name of Jim Staley. Now, Jim Staley right now, I'm not too worried about him because they won't let him have his radio show in prison. He's in prison for stealing old people's money. Jim Staley ran a ministry called Passion for Truth Ministries. He is a what I call a Hebrew roots type preacher. And his job is to convince everybody that Jesus came to show us that we have to live under the Mount Sinai covenant in order to go to heaven. And Staley is all about you have to keep the Torah. Keep the Torah. The Torah is their word for the law. You have to keep as much of the law as you possibly can in order to please God. Yes, God will save you technically, but in our idea, you're not really saved if you're not keeping the Torah. Now, I'm assuming that thou shalt not steal is still part of God's commandments. Okay? And so, while he is having a Passover feast at his house or whatever, he's stealing old people's money. And it was Jay Nixon that first got onto him years ago when he was attorney general and started investigating him, and they caught up with him, and he's lied I don't know how many times. But if the man doesn't have a problem lying about God, he's not going to have a problem lying about everything else. And so let me tell you his story. He was like an assistant pastor of some church somewhere in the Chesterfield, St. Peter's area, Wentzville. And I actually had confirmation of this from a guy that called and said he's known Staley since we grew up together. He said, I know the guy, I know what kind of guy he is. And he said, you're dead on about him. And he was like an associate minister, and I don't know what kind of problem he had, but anyway, he said he had a vision. He took a nap one day, and during this time, he saw Jesus, and Jesus was showing him that the current state of the church was in disarray, it was in ruins, that he showed him like this old church that was, you know, all the walls had fallen down, the roof had caved in, the foundation was all tore up and everything like that. And he said, that's how the church is, and I'm going to call you to restore it. That's almost the same vision that Joseph Smith had. Almost identical. Was they being told this idea that the way Christianity is messed up, and I'm going to call you to restore it. You're going to fix it for everybody. And when he's telling this story, my mind goes to Scripture. And the Bible says that the church has this foundation sure. Our foundation is not destroyed. It's not in disarray. Nothing like that. But you see, you have to tear down, in somebody's mind, you have to tear down what's been built in there so you can replace it. That's just how it is. So Staley claims that, well, in a trance, Jesus appeared to him and showed him the Lord's house. And then he downloaded the true meaning of the book of Romans. In other words, he was asleep, and he literally used the phrase download. It's like God downloaded into my mind the real understanding of the book of Romans. Now, why the book of Romans? Romans 3:23, what does it say? For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Romans 6:23. Wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Romans 10:9 and 10. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus Christ and believe in thy heart that God raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Staley then comes out and says that's not what it means. Doesn't really mean that. And he spends all this time telling you that what God really intended was for you to go and keep the Old Testament law, because you cannot be saved simply by thinking in your mind that you believe what God said. He said you have to prove it. You have to do it. He said in the Hebrew idea, faith is not just believing something in your mind. It is believing and doing. And he always emphasizes this doing, 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 doing. Reg Kelly came here several years ago and he preached. The first thing out of his mouth was there's two religions in the world, do and done. And he said every other religion in the world is do. Do this, do this, keep doing that, keep doing that. He said Christ came and done it. Once and for all of us. So, I mean, and it's that simple. If you've got Christ telling you, I did it, then it's over with. If you have man telling you, you must do it, those two are not the same. Which one are you going to believe? Who are you going to believe? And every other gospel, doesn't matter what church it's from, what name it calls itself, or whatever, is always going to add do to the equation. Do this. Do that. Who can think of some real quick? Just, you must do this in order to be saved. You must perform this, or you must keep this. Okay, seven sacraments, Roman Catholic Church. Catholic Church says if you don't have these, we had a daycare here years ago, and our mom was in charge of it, and there were two little twin girls that they came to this daycare, and they had an older brother, and they lived out on a little farm out here on CC Highway, and out in this field, Dad had cut some trees down. The old stumps were laying there like that, and cut the trees off. They had the stumps there, and he just never got around to removing those stumps. Well, one of the girls and her older brother was playing under this stump, and just boom, thing came over and crushed them both. And that they were going to a Catholic church, and that Catholic priest told that mother, 5-year-old girl, told that mother that her daughter's burning in hell right now, or in purgatory, because she hadn't been baptized. Boy, that made that. It hurt my mother. It hurt. It bothered me. I'll never forget as long as I live. For that priest to tell that woman, because that girl had not done this, or that mama had not done this, that little girl was burning in hell. And that just doesn't go with me. So it's about you must keep the sacraments. You must do this. If you don't do it, you're not going to heaven. Somebody else. Speaking in tongues. United Pentecostal Church. I was thinking of them this morning. I don't know why. But their requirement is that you must speak in tongues or you're not saved. Where's that in the Bible? It's not there. They cherry pick what they want out of the Bible. And they emphasize what they want. Their idea is that the focus of the Bible is not the Gospels. According to them, the focus of the Bible is the book of Acts, which is act, do. If you don't do, you're not saved. If you don't speak in tongues, you're not saved. All right? That's their doctrine. And they don't believe 1 John 5:7. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And they say, well, the Catholic Church had it. Anything that people don't like, they blame on, which I can blame the Catholic Church for a lot. Yes, ma'am. There you go. Ellen White teaching and you know where she got this idea? You must purify yourself. You must do it on the Sabbath day. You must go to church on the Sabbath day. She said that's the one commandment that Christ did not nail to the cross. Where did she get it from? She read it in the Bible? An angel told her that. An angel from heaven told her that you must sanctify yourself on the Sabbath day in order to have salvation. Can't do it. Somebody else. Another gospel. Yes, Antonio. Giving money to Kenneth Copeland, to Creflo Dollar, Frederick K.C. Price. Why are these guys named Dollar and Price? And they want money. You must sow seed. You must give them money or you won't get anything from God. It's a lie. It's a lie. Okay? The first time you paid tithes, okay, had God fed you all the days of your life before you gave tithes? Sure he did. That was a gift. It's a gift of God. Anybody else? Got one real quick. Yes, ma'am. Yep. If you don't knock on doors, if you don't build and grow our religion, you're not going to heaven. Look up on the screen, Ellen White. Here's what she said. Angels were so interested for man's salvation that there could be found among them those who would yield their glory and give their life for perishing man. That's what Ellen White said. Angels have a part in your salvation. Here's, not of man, Galatians 1. These are my notes here. Look in Galatians 1:11, but I certify you, brethren, that the gospel which was preached of me is not after man, for I neither received it of man, neither was I taught it, but by the revelation of Jesus Christ. 1 Thessalonians 2:2, but even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as you know at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much intention. It is God's gospel. It did not come from angels. And Jesus is not a created angel. He's not. He's God Almighty. Let's see here. 2 Thessalonians 2:13. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. According to what you were saying there, Ellen says that your sanctification comes from yourself. You must sanctify. You must purge this. The Catholic Church version of that is almost identical. You must purge yourself from your own sins. You must eat of the Eucharist. You must drink of the cup. You must come to confession, which that is one of the most diabolical, evil places in the world, full of devils, is the Catholic confessional. The devil, when he created that, he thought, man, I got him now. Because can you imagine confiding all of your evil personal transgressions and every thought to a man? Can you imagine that and then thinking that that man is going to love you and care about you and not use that against you forever? Why do you think the mafia is so closely related to the Catholic priest? Power. It's control. What he knows about you, he can destroy you if he wanted to. It's about power. EWT, and this is Eternal World Television Network. This was started by a Roman Catholic nun. And here's their article on salvation. The doctrine that outside the church there is no salvation is one that is constantly misinterpreted by those who won't submit to the magisterium of the church. In other words, the church is the magistrate. The church is the ruler over everybody. Faith does not depend upon our ability to reason to the truth, but on our humility before the truth presented to us by those to whom Christ entrusted that task. That is why the First Vatican Council taught that it is the task of the magisterium alone to determine and expound the meaning of the tradition, including outside the church, no salvation. In other words, only the church can decide who's saved and who isn't. Only the church can. So, let's say that you were going to the church and you were in good favor with the priest, you'd paid a lot of money, and he told you, oh yeah, you're going to heaven. But then you did something, the priest didn't like it, he doesn't like you anymore, so now he and he alone has decided that you can't go to heaven. He did. A real situation just like that happened not too long ago in that Polish Catholic Church up here in St. Louis. They had land, they had a building, they had money in the bank. All told, they were worth about $10 million. And something somehow, I don't know how it all worked, but since their beginning, they were locally owned by their own church, owned their own church. They owned their own bank account, they owned everything, and a committee from the church was the overseer of that. So the Vatican's trying to pay out all these child molestation lawsuits. They're short on cash, so they're trying to grab whatever they can. So the Archbishop of St. Louis, Raymond Burke, writes him a letter and says, boy, we thank you for all the great things you've done over the years, and man, what a great thing. You know, boy, you're in our favor. As per the rules of the Catholic Church, you realize that every square inch of land that you own and every dime you've got in the bank belongs to the archdiocese. So we can expect that you'll just sign that over this week and there won't be any trouble. And that church wrote back and said, we don't owe you anything. And we're not giving you our money. We're not giving you our church. So the archbishop writes back and says, you don't understand. You don't get it. You got to play by the rules here. Give it, hand it over, or we'll pull your priest out of your church. Now, don't worry, because if you need money, we'll loan some of it back to you. So that church wrote back and said, you're not getting it. And in Catholic ideology, if you don't have a priest, you don't have salvation. If that man cannot put that wafer in your mouth, you're not going to heaven. So he essentially said, hand over the money or you're all doomed. And so they said, no, we're not playing by the rules. So they pulled their priest. Well, they're a Polish Catholic church. They called Reverend Father Swarovski up in Chicago and sent one of their Polish buddies down to act as a priest for this church. I don't know how it all ended up, but it was, boy, it made me mad. It was the idea that if you don't give us the money, you're all going to go to hell. That's what happens when you let the church decide for you whether or not you're saved or not. It's not my choice. It is not up to me. It is not up to a board. It is not up to the collective. It's not up to us whether or not you're going to go to heaven or not. It's not up to a denomination. It's not up to anybody. Your salvation is yours to gain or not have, period. But it doesn't belong to. And here's what I want you to think about. The church or a pastor cannot tell you if you're saved or you're not. Don't believe the man. Because he doesn't know your heart. He doesn't know your future. Doesn't know anything about you. So if a man says, oh, you're saved, don't worry about anything, don't believe that. There's a bicycle. Somebody riding a bicycle out there. I just want to make sure everything's good. Okay? So anyway, it's not up to the church. Is that Ian? Oh, don't worry about it. Okay? Don't shoot him. If the church tells you you're saved, don't believe it. Find it in the Scripture. 1 John, the whole book of 1 John. These things have I written that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you're lost, the Bible will tell you. If you're saved, the Bible will tell you. The Bible has the authority, not the church, and not the men in the church, not the people. Catechisms. Who in here has ever recited a catechism? You didn't sound too enthusiastic, Sister Linda. They told you that if you could quote this, you're saved. If you quote this and get all the answers right and join the church, then you're saved. You're going to heaven. It's not true. Any dope can recite catechisms. This, I'm going to tell you that, you're looking at a replacement gospel. It's what you're looking at. And it doesn't matter if it comes from the Catholic Church or the Lutheran Church or whatever church has a catechism requirement. You're looking at an alternative replacement gospel. That does not tell you that you're saved. Here's the Church of Christ. Church of Christ demand. What do they demand? Church of Christ, what do they insist upon? In their baptistry.
Right, exactly.
In their baptistry. Every week? Here's their thing. We are begging and pleading with you to obey the gospel of Jesus Christ. Obedience to Jesus is a no-brainer. Because he's the Lord of lords and King of kings, he should receive nothing less. So if you would be saved, drop the, quote, faith-only doctrine and the Calvinistic errors and just follow Jesus in simple obedience. It's truly not ever been about earning salvation, but that's the scary accusation that keeps people from doing what Jesus said to do. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. Now, open your Bible to Mark 16 and let's see here. John, I'm going to open to John. I think it's in John too. Yeah. Mark chapter 16. I love it when people quote part of a verse. That always, it's like, ding, there's an alarm here. Yeah, here we go. No, I'm not seeing it in John. John 3:18 says, he that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. Mark 16:16. If that's even the place I'm thinking it is. What does it say? Somebody read it. Yep. See, they only quoted half the verse to you. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved, but he that believeth not shall be dead. Where's the not baptized part? They quote part of a Bible verse to try to convince you, but they're not giving you the whole story. Okay? So it's he said, Satan should not be so crafty as to hinder you from seeing that repentance, confession, and adult baptism are necessary for remission of sins. So we are pleading with you to obey today. Please, we are begging you. And it's a false gospel. You cannot, and I've seen some of their arguments. They rewrite the Bible and they do this and do that. And the thief on the cross and all this stuff. But the Bible says, for whosoever shall call on the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's that simple. Doctrinal statements. Doctrinal statements are not intended to be gospels. Apostles' Creed. Reciting the Apostles' Creeds. That is not the gospel. Just because you can quote things. Just because you can quote Bible verses. Alexander Scourby, from what I heard, died a lost man. Scourby is the man who read, I mean, on those tapes and CDs and stuff like that, the reading of the King James Bible. Sterling's got it in his truck. Every time you turn his truck on, he's listening to Scourby read the Bible. Scourby read the entire Bible, died lost. Just because you can read it, just because you can quote it, just because you can do this. Those are not replacements for the gospel. Galatians chapter 2 verse 4, and that because of false brethren unawares brought in. False brethren bring in a false gospel and teach a false message, who came in privily to spy out our liberty, which we have in Christ Jesus, that they might bring us into bondage. There it is right there. The liberty that you have in Christ is that when you confess and profess Jesus Christ, you will make a mistake from time to time. You will fall into error. You will not be perfect as far as the outer man is concerned. Their idea is that they will bring you into bondage by telling you that if you do this or if you do that, or if you sin after you are quote-unquote saved, then you're not really saved, or you never were saved, or you lost your salvation, you need to get it back, or any number of things. And it's a constant, if you keep repenting, if you keep doing, if you keep this and keep that, then you will be saved, or you might be saved. But it's still a constant doing, constant performance. Paul said in verse 5, to whom we gave place by subjection, no, not for an hour, that the truth of the gospel might continue with you. When these guys stood up and they tried to spy out their liberty, they tried to do this, Paul said, I didn't put up with them for a minute. And everybody probably thinks Paul was a real jerk, and, oh, he should have handled that better. I mean, after all, they're related to so-and-so people in the church, and that might hurt their feelings. When it comes to the gospel, people, we're dealing with heaven and hell. We're dealing with the one decision in life that you have to get this one right. There are certain men crept in unawares who were before of old ordained to this condemnation, ungodly men, turning the grace of our God into lasciviousness and denying the only Lord God and our Lord Jesus Christ. They will bring false brethren, will always bring in a false gospel. Now, turn that around. If someone has a false gospel, can they be true brethren? There's one correct answer. And again, the Bible says, judge no man before the time. Because what if someone comes into church one day, they've been reading Facebook all week, and been watching YouTube videos, and they got steered away for a while. Can it be brought back? Happens all the time. So judge no man before the time. But someone who persistently, adamantly remains locked up in false doctrine, false teaching, with a false gospel. I mean, maybe at some point God will correct them. But it's just like if you've got a kidney going bad and it's got cancer, it's got some disease in it, at some point you're going to have to lose that thing. Because if you don't, it will infect the whole body. It'll tear it all up. Leprosy. If you got leprosy and it's consuming your body, if your hand offends you, what do you got to do with it? Cut it off, cast it from you. Nobody wants to. And it's something it's designed to not be easily done. And it should be that way. Because it's a big thing. Anyway, that was the bell. But just contemplate all the different things that you've heard and that you've seen. People adding this, people adding that to salvation. And it's not ever supposed to be that complicated. Dave Bradley's going to go to Italy. He's handing out gospel tracts. And what they has on there is Bible verses, or the police will say, yeah, get out of here. Only they do it in Italian, so it sounds really great. Okay? But it's life and death. Those people have been taught that they have to bow to the Pope, that they have to do this, they have to do that. And if they don't do it, they're not saved. And you got one man out of 10 million over there that's going to hand out the truth. And you just hope and pray that one person will hear it. One person will listen. Because it'll matter to that person for eternity. It's the one question they got to get right. Heavenly Father, we ask your blessings upon your word. We ask your blessings, Father. We ask for your grace. Because without it, there's nothing that we have. And Father, I thank you for your grace. I thank you, Lord, for your mercy. I thank you for your help and your aid and your guidance. I thank you for this book, Lord, that sets everything straight. We thank you for Jesus, who provided the one and the only way for our salvation. Without Jesus, we are nothing. And so, Father, we ask God that you bless this church, bless every church, Lord, that is preaching the gospel. Bless those, Lord, who have it in their hand, their custody. And, Lord, they hand it out to other people in whatever way, emails and links and Twitters and gospel tracts and sitting down talking to a friend. Lord, any way for us to transmit the gospel, we pray that your blessings would be upon it. Thank you for this Sunday school hour. We ask for your grace. We pray this in Jesus' name. And all of God's people said, Amen.